Welcome to Foster's Consumer Electronics Show Interviews. The Las Vegas event, or CES, is the second largest gathering of people in attendance at any exhibit in the USA. This year, the attendance exceeded 140,000 industry leaders. They meet each year in Las Vegas to learn about the newest electronic technologies and to build new business relationships. It is a show featuring more than 2,700 exhibits. CES is organized to permit the manufacturer to show off their latest consumer electronic items to current and likely retail dealers. The large number of dealers in attendance is the key to the success of CES. This interview series covers primarily industry leaders involved in high-performance audio and HDTV. However, CES is a showplace for 9 key consumer technology markets. For example, watches, gaming, home networking, and more. All the interviews are recorded at CES 2008 between the dates of Monday, January 7th, and Thursday, January 10th. My name is Alvin Foster. Welcome to our interviews at CES 2008 with industry leaders in audio and video. My name is Alvin Foster. I am the founder of the Boston Audio Society. We are the largest and the longest live audio society in the United States. We are now at Alexis Park with the show 2008. You are listening to Foster's CES 2008 review. And I am sitting with Pulsar Sue of Sue Research. Pulsar, would you like to tell us who you are? Or should I say Dr. Sue? I keep forgetting that he's an MIT plumbing graduate.
Well, I'm still Boston Audio Society member, but I was studying at MIT, as Alvin said, and so I'm into bass. So I started a company to build subwoofers. Started about 15 years ago, and now starting to branch also into loudspeakers as well. So we've come to Saint-Tropez, not Alexis Park, but exhibiting here for a while.
Right. And on my right is Tom Nussain. Tom, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, I'm a contributing editor for Sound Division Magazine and Pro Audio Review. I've been a longtime member of SMUTMS, the Southeastern Michigan Woofer and Tweeter Marching Society, and I like bass too.
In fact, Tom has tested more woofers and loudspeakers in general, but certainly woofers than anyone else in this country. And I know outside of maybe the manufacturer or something like that. So tell us about your products, Dr. Sue.
We build a range of subwoofers for people, and we pride ourselves in making very good value for money subwoofers. They range from our 8-inch STF1. It goes down to the high 20s at reasonably high volumes for selling for about $300, on up to the most expensive current production one is the VTF3HO, and with turbo it's about $1,000, and that one puts up strong output down to 16 hertz.
Oh, I've heard that one. I thought that was a very clever design, whereby you can buy what you can afford at the time, and then when you get an extra $250, is it?
For about $200 more.
$200 more, you can add this piece to your existing subwoofer, which costs how much?
The subwoofer by itself was about $900, and if you buy the turbo with it, we give it to you for $100, but buy later, it's $200.
It's $200, right. And it's a very futuristic-looking design, and it sounds great. What are you showing here at the show? Anything new?
We are showing a new subwoofer, too. That one is flat down to about 10 hertz. But right now we don't want to reveal too much details yet.
Okay. Okay. Poster has been lived in Boston for many years while he was a student, and he's been a member of the Boston Audio Society for some time, and he was around during the days when we were forming and those kind of things, and he's always stayed in contact, and he's a good contact, and he's got quality products.
Thank you. Not from the beginning, though.
Not from the beginning?
Well, I was in Boston starting in 1980. I think that was a little after the BAS got started, I think.
You mean not from the beginning of the society. That
society,
is correct.
Right.
Now, to reach, what makes your subwoofers any different than the next guys?
I guess it's a matter, when you design a subwoofer, there's always trade-offs, especially if you want to design one that's cost-effective. If you have a cost-null object, it's easier to design a good subwoofer. So when you're limited on the budget in terms of coming out with a design, you really need to balance one factor for another. And I guess the choices that I come up with is generally is viewed as being suitable for a lot of customers.
Now, are all your speakers, subwoofers, Poster, Sue, are they all ported?
Well,
and what are the advantages?
To date, all of our production subwoofers are all vented designs.
What do you mean?
Ported design, in other words. And the main reason we went with that is that it tend to give you low base output per dollar than other types of designs.
Now, this is in contrast to what acoustic research became famous for, and that was the acoustic suspension. Why do you claim that ported is better than that?
I'm not saying that's better. I'm just saying that it does give you more lowest base output per dollar compared to a seal box design.
Okay. Are there any negatives with the ported design? For example, wind noise, is that an issue, or was it ever an issue with your products?
Port noise is always potentially an issue, and so you, when you design the ported sub, you always have to make sure that the port size is large enough so that you don't run into too much port noise issues. And that's one of the reasons why we came up with the turbocharger that we talked about earlier. It allows you to maintain a larger cross-sectional area for the ports, even when you set it to the low tune.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else?
I've noted in a lot of the commercial products that I've tested.
This is Tom Nassane.
Bass reflex designs. Oftentimes, there's considerable amount of suspension noises or other noises below the port tuning, because below the tuning frequency, there's no load on the driver. And I don't think that I've noticed that as a particular problem with Sue Research, but it's a very common problem. And I just wondered if Poster had any observation on that.
Yeah, that's generally true. What you really need is a good subsonic filter to try and filter out the signal below the port tuning, so that the woofer don't flap wally with a little input and creating all the distortion and all that.
Do all your powered subwoofers come with a filter?
Yeah, they all has a built-in filter to keep the frequencies below the port tuning out of it.
Yeah, high passing is good, but isn't that offset the cost advantage to some degree?
No. Yeah, the low pass filter is the high pass filter actually doesn't add much to the cost at all.
Okay.
It's just a few resistors and one IC.
And how much of a curve do you need down there to get rid of the problem?
I would say a minimum of 12 dB per octave to roll it off.
Starting at?
Wherever your port tuning is.
16 hertz.
Whatever
the port tuning
is. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got you. Okay, this concludes our interview with Dr. Poser Su, president of Su Research, a company based in Southern California. Do you want to give your address and your website and your phone number? And I understand you do only direct marketing. Is that true?
Yes, currently we are just going direct marketing. It's too much problems dealing with dealers and all that. And to get it to the customer at a good price, that's definitely the best way to do it, is to cut out the middleman. And our website is suresearch.com.
And how do you spell that? S-U-E?
Yeah, a boy named Sue. It's H-S-U-R-E-S-E-A-R-C-H.com.
Okay. And your phone number?
Phone number is...
I'm assuming you take orders by phone also?
We do, but the vast majority, over 90%, is over the internet. People order online. And, the phone number is 800-554-0150.
And if we want to write Su Research with particular problems or questions, what number address should we use?
The new address that would be true in about a month from the date of the interview is 985 North Shepherd Street, Anaheim, California, 99-2806.
Thank you very much, Dr. Su.